Certainly thankful for the good prayer, and please continue to pray as we try to look from God's Word for a few minutes this morning. If you want to turn with me, we'll be in Luke chapter 11, and I want to take up where we left off a couple of weeks ago as we tried to introduce the subject of revival and noted that there is a biblical mandate for us as God's people to pray unto the Lord that He would revive us. And we looked at some non-examples of what revival is not, but looked at what the Bible says about us as God's people, and it's right and it's proper and it's necessary for us to desire that the Lord would revive us. And I want to go back to Luke chapter 9, and let's read verses 9 through 13, and I want us to continue along those lines as we try to seek the will of the Lord and Him blessing us with His Spirit and revival. Luke chapter 11 and verse 9, Luke writes, "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened." Verse 11 says, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" I don't know if you remember, but when I was a kid, there was a popular series of books called Where's Waldo? Does anybody remember Waldo and the Waldo books? And basically, Waldo was this little indescript guy that had a striped shirt and a beanie cap and glasses. And in all the books, you had to try to find Waldo. Waldo was always hiding in a crowd, and the crowd was oftentimes dressed very similar to Waldo. And if you were smarter than me, you found Waldo, but many times he was beyond finding until you could find somebody else to look for him. It was basically a printed book of hide and seek. And, you know, those books were always challenging and somewhat frustrating to me, but I bring up Waldo because I think that many times God's people think of Jesus as being like Waldo, that we have to engage in a game of hide and seek, and it takes this great effort to find the Lord, to find closeness with the Lord, to find the blessings of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 11, what we have here, we have two things going on. First of all, we have Jesus encouraging God's people in prayer, encouraging God's people to draw near unto God and be willing and be ready to ask the Lord to bless them and be with them. But what I want us to look at in depth this morning as well is what we started speaking about last Sunday, and that's the latter part of this passage of Scripture, when again Jesus says, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" My friends, for the child of God, Jesus is not like Waldo. He is not someone that we have to go to great lengths and great difficulties. We don't have to play a cosmic game of hide and seek. He is there and He will bless us. Notice again what we read in these passages of Scripture. It says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth." And then He says, "To him that knocketh, it shall be opened." Now, I want you to understand, that is a passage of Scripture written to us as God's people. That is not a call for us to accept the Lord. That's not a call for us to become God's children. But that is an example for us as God's people. When we cry out unto Him in prayer, He hears us. He blesses us. And the wonderful blessing that I want you to think about specifically this morning as God's people is those that seek the Lord, they will find revival because they will find Him. And those who seek the Lord and ask the Lord to bless them, He will bless them. He will bless us with the Spirit of God. You know, if there's any hide and seek or if there's any Where's Waldo going on, I think it's on our end where we are reluctant to approach the Lord and ask Him to bless us. And oftentimes, I don't know about you, but I find myself trying to hide from God. It's not the other way around. He's not hidden anywhere. He is where He's always been. And as God's people, that is what revival is. God's people seeking the Lord and He blessing them. Now, we talked a little bit a couple of weeks ago about what revival is not. Now, again, revival is not the Spirit of God doing anything new, but is the Spirit of God blessing God's people in a powerful and an extraordinary way. Isn't that what we should desire as God's people in 2021? We desire that God would bless us in an extraordinary way. That we would be more blessed this year and more zealous to serve God. And that our zeal and our fervor would be greater now than it ever has been in our lives. And that's what the Lord promises here. He says again, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Spirit to them that ask Him? I want us to see from God's word this morning that we are commanded to seek the Lord. That we are commanded to seek after Him. And when we seek Him, He will bless us and He will be found for us as God's children. And that's when revival comes. God is not an enigma to the child of God. He's not some far-off God. He's not just sitting afar off, just watching everything transpire in this world. He's not impersonal. He's here to bless His people. And that's what revival is. Us praying, Lord, bless us with Your Spirit. So again, you think about the things that come along with revival. You know, what does revival mean for God's children? Well, it means that God, the Spirit of God is blessing us and it's warming a cold heart. You know, that should be our desire, that our hearts would be warmed as God's people. And I want to make this real clear, and maybe I wasn't clear last Sunday, but I want you to understand when the Spirit of God touches the lives of one of His children, there is going to be a change, and there is going to be an emotional reaction to it. You know, emotion is not what steers the ship, but for a child of God, there's a change that's made, and when the Lord revives us, it's a warming of a cold heart. You say, Brother Michael, as a child of God, you know, I've tried to serve the Lord for 10 years, 20 years, 50 years. Am I in need of my heart being warmed? We are all in need of it on a daily basis. And revival is the warming of a cold heart. Do you have a cold heart spiritually this morning? You don't have to raise your hand, but where are you in your walk with the Lord? Are you just going through the motions? Was it drudgery for you to get up and be here this morning? Is it a challenge to serve the Lord? Our Lord, is when He blesses us with revival, it's a warming of a cold heart. And that can happen to us today, my friends. It's a refreshing of the week, is it not? Do you get weary along the way in your service to God, perhaps because of your weakness and your struggles and your trials? Maybe your strength is waning this morning. Well, revival can refresh the weary heart. Revival also, as you see revival going, it's a stirring of the complacent. Do we ever get complacent in our service to God? We do. I'm guilty of it. We are all guilty of it. But one of the most blessed messages, one of the most blessed things contained in revival to me as a child of God is when revival comes, it's also the drawing back of a wanderer home. Maybe you've strayed away from the Father. I think about the biblical account of the prodigal son who demanded his inheritance from his father and he went his own way and he spent his inheritance on riotous living. But you see, in that story, that son eventually comes to himself after his inheritance is all spent, and after he finds himself in the hog pen, desiring to eat the husks that the hogs eat, he goes back to the Father. My friend, revival in our lives, it works in the same way. And before you get too judgmental and critical of that prodigal son, we have all been there. We might be there right now. So when you think about revival, it's the drawing back of a wanderer home. It's the drawing back of those of us that backslide. Some people have the idea that backsliding means that you lose your eternal life and you fall out of relationship with God. No, backsliding is wandering away from God. And we all find ourselves there in varying degrees and intensity. But I'm thankful that we can seek a Lord that can revive our hearts and draw the prodigal home. That's the revival that we should seek. Those that seek the Lord shall find revival. And what a wonderful blessing that is to think about. You know, you think about some of the effects of revival. We talked about that a little bit a couple of weeks ago. But when the Lord blesses His people with revival, and remember when we're talking about revival, we were talking about revival as an individual. But we're also talking about as a church, the Lord can bless us to revive. The Lord can even bless our nation. As Brother David rightly said last Sunday, this is not one nation under God anymore. But our Lord is certainly able to bless when His people seek them. The results of revival is a rekindling and a growing of faith in the Lord. And what is our faith? Our faith is confidence in our God, that our God is going to see us through the trials and difficulties of our lives, that our God is going to keep His promises, our God is going to deliver us. That's one of the effects of revival. Another effect of revival is the Lord blesses us and our hearts warm up. Does not Christ become more precious to us? How valuable is Jesus Christ in your life right now? Is He just a buzzword that you use when you're around certain people? Or, you know, when you're posting something on social media, you put the Bible verse up there, or you talk about Jesus. Is that as far as it goes? Or is He truly precious in your life? Well, as revival comes, Christ is going to be precious. He's going to dominate preeminence in every area of your life. You say, well, what else is an indicator that revival has come to my life and I'm experiencing this, the Spirit of God in an extraordinary way? Well, His Word becomes more and more precious. Is His Word precious to you? Is Scripture valuable to you? Is what we're doing here this morning, is it of value to you as we dig into God's Word? Other things that go on, the love of God abounds when revival is present. Are we loving each other? Do you love God, first of all? Does your love abound towards the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Is your obedience unto the Lord, is it out of affection? You know, sometimes we obey out of fear, don't we? Sometimes we obey out of obligation, but I want you to understand when the Lord is blessing your heart and the Spirit is abounding in your heart, you love God and you obey Him out of affection, out of love for Him. And it shows in our love for others, our compassion for others. When revival comes, my friends, our prayer life intensifies. We don't only pray when we find ourselves in trouble or we find ourselves in danger, or as students we find ourselves with a test that maybe we don't feel like we're prepared for. Our prayer life intensifies when the Lord revives our heart. And revival is always capstoned by a joy that transcends whatever's going on in this world. Lord, revive us. You know, we can be happy when everything else around us is difficult. In hard times, in times of hardship, and times of suffering, we can experience joy when the Lord revives us. And we can have joy and peace in spite of the circumstances that we're going through. My friends, we should desire revival as God's people. Again, it's not something new that God is coming up with. It's not something that's extra biblical. It's not something beyond what he's said in His Scripture. But it's the working of the Spirit of God in an extraordinary way. And if we're being real as God's people, I think oftentimes we find ourselves on the other side of that spectrum where we, because of our actions and our decisions, our complacency, our lack of study of God's word, our lack of committing ourselves to the things of God, we find ourselves probably needing that warning that Paul gave of not quenching the Spirit of God. He says here that our Lord will hear us. Those that seek Him will find Him. So the big question I want us to think about this morning is, what specifically is our responsibility as God's people as we seek revival? Well, we go back to what we read in Luke chapter 11, and again, this is not a call for an individual to seek the Lord and find eternal life. This isn't what you will hear in many cases, the gospel call that's given, that if you knock, the Lord will hear you and accept you, and you will become one of His children. This, my friends, is a passage for disciples. It's a passage for God's people and an example of prayer unto them to actively seek out the one that's delivered them and found them. We'll see that in more detail in just a few minutes, but here's our role. It says when we go unto the Lord, it says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Now, as God's people, if we're going to experience revival, if we're going to experience the Spirit of God, I believe as the Lord intended His people to experience here in this world, we are going to have to labor and seek Him and ask that He would bless us with the Spirit of God, bless us with the Holy Spirit in an extraordinary way. So, Brother Michael, is it biblical for us to ask God for the Holy Spirit? Don't we already have the Spirit of God dwelling within us? Yes and yes. And again, you know, in our passage we have here, it says in verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Now, the implication in all of this here is that we ought to seek God, we ought to draw near unto Him, we ought to ask God to bless us, and we ought to knock and seek God's blessing and seek God's guidance in our life, and He hears us and He answers us. That's a wonderful blessing. A few passages of Scripture that support this. Is it biblical to ask God for the Holy Spirit? I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 8 for just a minute. Proverbs chapter 8, the wise man Solomon, by God's inspired to write this comprehensive book of wisdom for God's people. He was the one that God asked him, he said, Solomon, you know, ask me whatever you want and I will give. He asked for wisdom. This was the man that had God-given wisdom, and he was inspired by God to write this wisdom that included examples and non-examples for us as God's people. Notice Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. He says, I love them that love me. This is speaking from God's perspective. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. What's it say there? Those that seek me shall find me. Now, in the book of Jeremiah, again, in the midst of great calamity in Israel, we have the promise as well. In Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 12, in the midst of the judgment of God coming down upon His chosen people, you know, when you think about a bad circumstance and dire straits, is happening in the time of Jeremiah, or it's ramping up, if you will. Notice what the prophet speaks as far as the words of God. He says in verse 12, he says, then shall ye call me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. My friends, there's no hole that we can dig so deep that we are away from the God that has saved us and delivered us. And I don't know about you, but I can make some messes in my life. But you see here in the time where the judgment of God was coming down upon his people because of their unfaithfulness, because of them constantly turning away from him, in the midst of all of that calamity, in the midst of all of that judgment, we have this promise. You say, is that something that's applicable to us as God's children today? Yes, it is. Again, it's not oftentimes or every time, it's not God hiding from us. God, again, is where he's always been, on his royal throne, ruling and reigning. He's on top of everything. Nothing has caught him by surprise. What we find, though, is that we hide from God. We try to run from him. But he says here, definitively, ye shall seek me and find me. You say, well, why was the judgment of God? Why did this last so long during the time of Old Testament Israel? Because it took them a long time to realize what God said here was true. And God's people today, I want you to understand, wherever you are, you seek him and you will find him. He will be found if you seek him. The psalmist David in Psalm 63, the heading of this psalm is a psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. David in dire circumstances. David was not occupying the throne at this time, where everything was going smoothly and where he had peace from his adversaries. It says he was in the wilderness. And what did David say? O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. And then Psalm 119, the psalm that extols God's word in verse 10, it says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Do you see that? He sought David, or sought God. And in Psalm 63, we find him seeking God. Jeremiah says, those that seek him shall find him. And Proverbs Solomon says, those that seek me early shall find me. Again, the question is, are we as God, are we biblically mandated? Are we biblically commanded to seek God? We see yes, 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 and yes. But if you go to the New Testament as well, get some New Testament proof. You say, Brother Michael, that was Old Testament. Well, notice this. Brother David, this came to mind when I was listening to your message last Sunday from Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul was there at Mars Hill, and there were folks there that were as confused as they could be. An old brother I once knew said they were as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. And here's the Apostle Paul speaking of them. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 26, he is preaching unto them the known God, the one God. He says in verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. And it says, and hath appointed the times before, and hath determined, this is critical here, this is a wonderful truth there, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And verse 27, it says this, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. The Apostle Paul is making a strong statement about the sovereignty of God. God is indeed sovereign over nations. God brings nations up. God causes nations to fall. But then we see the individuals in those nations. Notice what it says in verse 27. He says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after them. He's speaking about those seeking the Lord that have the Spirit of God in their hearts. And then he says, though he be not far from every one of us. You know, this is wonderful. When you think about this for just a little bit, Paul is saying here to us as God's people that right here, right now, whatever your circumstance is right now, it is appropriate and it is right and it is biblical to seek after God. Not wonderful to see here. This is the God, he says, that's made one blood of all nations for all men to dwell on the face of the earth. It says he's determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. And then he speaks to them as individuals, as those that were gathered there, that they should seek after the Lord. My friends, you may be going through good times right now. Maybe the Lord has blessed you and prospered you. If you're enjoying prosperity, if you've got peace in your home, If you've got good health and your family's doing well and they've got good health, did you really have anything to do with that in the big picture? No. Well, what should you do? Seek the Lord and praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for blessing me and blessing my family. You know, seeking the Lord may mean that you acknowledge that what you have is not of your doing or ultimately of your abilities, but it's because God blessed you. But maybe you're in the valley right now, going through great trials and sufferings. Maybe many things in your life are turned upside down right now. Maybe you've gotten the health diagnosis that you aren't expecting. Maybe you're suffering to the point now where perhaps your time on this earth isn't going to be much longer because of physical sickness and affliction. Well, what's your answer? To seek the Lord. In the bad times, in the times of trouble, sometimes we ask ourselves, why am I going through all of these difficulties and trials and tribulations? What is the purpose in this? Well, not to oversimplify anybody's difficulties, but I want you to understand the difficulties in this life should drive us to our Lord who has grace sufficient for our trials, drive us to our Lord that has saved us and redeemed us, because if everything in this world is just terrible, everything in this world is turned upside down, we should draw near and seek the one who has purchased our citizenship in heaven and remember and praise God, this world is not our home. Amen. What a wonderful truth that is. He again says, this is the sovereign God, the one that has made of one blood all nations, the one that has determined the times before appointed. He's sovereign. He's the one in charge. He's the one that's ruling, and he's the one that you should be seeking. If you have that spirit dwelling within you and that desire, you seek him in good times. You seek him in times of trials and tribulations. His grace is sufficient. He will be found wherever you are right now. What a wonderful blessing that is, to seek the Lord. So there you go. Paul says, seek the Lord. David says, seek the Lord. Jeremiah, seek the Lord. The wise man Solomon, seek the Lord. Well, you may be thinking now, well, what about the Bible verse where you know, you quote it here from time to time that says that there's none that seek after God? What about Romans 3? Well, let's look at Romans 3 and look at it, Lord willing, in the proper context. Because there may be somebody here or somebody out there listening that says, well, Romans chapter 3, you Primitive Baptists quote Romans chapter 3, and you say there's none that seek after God. Let's go to Romans chapter 3 for just a minute. Because I think as we see it in its proper context, we're going to see that it actually supports what we've been talking about. Romans chapter 3, what was going on in Romans chapter 3? Well, the Apostle Paul had started out this letter, and he was explaining that both Jews and Greeks, or in other words, he was explaining that all of us have come short of the glory of God. And the specific context here with what we're looking at as far as seeking God is Romans chapter 3, verses 9 through 12. Paul says this, "What then, are we better than they?" Paul speaking as being a Jew compared to those that are the Gentiles. He says, "No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin." Then he says in verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." You may say, well, aha, there's where the Word of God says there's none that seek after God. And I make this point because there have been folks that identify with us as Primitive Baptists that have used this as an excuse to not be active in their faith. And so it bears us taking time to look at it. Who was the Apostle Paul referring to when he said there are none that seek after God, that there are none that are righteous, there are none that understandeth? What was he referring to us? Yeah, he was referring to us. But what state was he referring to when he said this about us? He was talking about our state apart from the Spirit of God coming into our lives and quickening us or borning us again or giving us a new nature. You know, a nature, a man or a woman with devoid of the Spirit of God, they're not going to seek Him. They're not going to understand spiritual things. All that they do is going to be unrighteousness. But who is this seeking addressed to? It's addressed to those that have been born again by the Spirit of God. Those that have been quickened. Those are the ones. Who is he referring to here? He's referring to all of man apart from God touching their lives. And here's the simple truth of it. When God touches the lives of His children, they now have that capacity and that ability to seek Him. And we see from God's Word, we are commanded to be seeking Him. We're to be seekers. We're not to be do-nothing Baptist. We're not to be just sitting around and waiting for the Lord to come back. There's that notion again. It's a misguided notion that some have that, well, I've been saved by the grace of God, and there's no more responsibility on my part. I'm just going to occupy space till the Lord calls me home, and whatever will be, and so on and so forth. That's not supported by Scripture. It is supported that apart from God, we don't have any understanding. We have no righteousness of our own, and we have no desire to seek the Lord. You know, and all of our desires are motivated by selfishness before the Spirit of God enters into our hearts. My friends, you need to understand it in its proper context. This is speaking about us being apart from the indwelling Spirit of God. But I'm thankful that He works in the hearts of His children through His Spirit. And He borns us again. He pricks our hearts. I want you to understand, for us to see, God has to step in first. And that's what we see, the work of God, the Spirit of God in our lives. And then we seek Him. And then we pray unto Him. And then we ask Him to bless us, to bless us with the Holy Spirit. So, as we look at God's Word, then how do we do that? Okay, you've shown from Scripture that over and over again that we're to seek the Lord. The Apostle Paul says that we're to seek Him and He can be found. Well, how do we do that? How does a child of God do that? And we talked about, again, last Sunday's non-examples. This does not happen by us employing worldly tactics in our service and our worship to the Lord. It's not us getting worked up in a frenzy. It's not us looking for exterior stimuli to create a revival, my friends. God has given us all that we need to actively seek Him. And this is going to be earth-shattering when I speak to you about this. How does a child of God actively seek the Lord? Well, first of all, you actively seek the Lord through prayer. You're giving it away, Sister Dina. Good job. Now, through prayer. If we want the Lord to bless us, if we want to seek the Lord, we need to have strong prayer lives. Do you know that we have access to our God anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
That's right.
If you call, unless somebody's calling you and wanting to sell you insurance, am I the only one that somebody wants to sell me an extended warranty? Somebody wants to sell me an extended warranty on my car. I tell them over and over again, it's worn out. You don't want to extend a warranty on my car. They'll call you. But if you have to get something done, if you have to call your bank, if you have to call an insurance company, this and that and the other, you're more than likely going to be put on hold. Those computers are getting more and more realistic that talk to you. Sometimes you think a person's talking to you. Nope, you're going to get put on hold. But my friends, when we cry out unto our God in prayer, we're never going to be put on hold. We don't have to leave a message and Him call us back later on in the day. He hears our prayers. Paul says this in Philippians chapter 4. He says this for God's people. If you want to actively seek the Lord, Paul says this is what we're to do. Verse 6 in Philippians chapter 4, he says, be careful for nothing. He's not saying be careless, but he's talking about worry. Don't be overly worrisome about the trials and tribulations. Don't worry yourself to the point of crippling anxiety. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You let your requests be made known unto God. And in other words, you seek Him, and what happens? Does He put you on a waiting list? Does He put you in a queue where you're the 27th person in the waiting list? No, it says verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. We seek Him through prayer. If you've got a worry this morning, take it to the Lord in prayer. He hears you. And notice here, the peace that he talks about is not world peace as we think of here in the secular fashion, but his peace is a peace that passes all understanding. That says he'll give you peace in circumstances that you just can't any way fathom that there's any consolation or anything, any kind of comfort or peace to be enjoyed. His peace passes all understanding. How's a child of God actively seek the Lord? Through prayer. And here's another earth-shattering one for us as God's people. Through the reading of His Word.
Amen.
Now, this isn't sensational. This isn't going to garner the attention of the world. But through reading the Word of God, you can seek the Lord. The Word of God, it's an incredible thing. It's an incredible endeavor to study the Word of God. And it's the only book that the more and more you study, the probably if you're like me, the more and more questions that you're going to have, and the less and less you realize you know or you understand. But it's incredible how God will bless us to see Him as we pour through the pages of Scripture. Now, when there's things that you don't understand, don't be discouraged. Don't give up. God is able to bless. David in Psalm 119, to go back to the 119th Psalm in verse 107, he says this. He says, I am afflicted very much. David's saying, I'm going through difficulties, trials, hardships. He says this, quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Now, he's not saying here that I am spiritually dead. Regenerate me through your word. But what he is saying here is as I seek you in your word, Lord, revive me and revive my life. You want to know the answers to life? You want to be revitalized in your life? And, just think of every realm of life that you can imagine, in your relationships, in your family, in your church life, in how you're a neighbor. The Word of God can wake you up. When he says here, quicken me, it's like he's saying, wake me up, revive me, O Lord, according to thy word. And I'll tell you what, the Word of God is something far greater than simple behavior modification. A lot of my professional life is spent trying to come up with inventive and creative ways to modify students' behaviors. And sometimes it's modifying adults' behaviors. But the Word of God is not just merely behavior modification, but it provides character transformation for those that read it, those that are of God's children, that seek His Word. It makes marked changes in our lives. We never want to diminish or minimize the word of God. David says, I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. And finally, if we're going to actively seek the Lord, this one is an earth-shattering one as well from Scripture. We have to be engaged in both worship and fellowship with God's people and like-minded believers. What we are doing here this morning is critical. For the child of God, for revival, we have to be here with one another, for one another. And again, I know I'm speaking in challenging times. I know I'm speaking to folks that want to be here, but because of health issues, because of where we find ourselves with this pandemic, you can't be here. But I want you to never minimize the importance of worship in the lives of God's people. Now, worship right now may look a little different. Some of you are worshiping from home. Some of you, because of a frailty of health, can't be here right now. But that doesn't diminish worship at all. And I'll confess to you this morning, my friends, if I didn't have worship, my walk and my faithfulness to the Lord would be negligible. I need you for encouragement to worship God as I ought. And let me say the same thing for you as well. If you've abandoned worship, you are missing out on great blessings that God has in store for those that seek Him. What is worship in its purest form? It is seeking the Lord. It's not seeking my likes and dislikes. It's not seeking attention for me. It's not seeking attention for you. It doesn't mean that everything's going to go the way that I think it should go. In its truest and purest form, it is seeking the Lord. We come here every Sunday morning to seek the Lord. And if we come with those intents, He will bless us. And with the fellowship of God's people, that's heartbreaking where we are right now. It goes against our nature not to be close to one another. It goes against our nature not to be able to shake one another's hand and hug one another's necks and be there in physical proximity. But don't let that discourage you from continuing to engage in fellowship and be plugged in with brothers and sisters in Christ. We need that if we're going to experience the revival of the Lord, if we're going to experience the fullness of the Spirit of God in our lives. Prayer, Scripture, worship and fellowship. We're to seek God in all of those avenues, and He will bless us with the Spirit. You know, we need to leverage these wonderful blessings that God has given us, and He's promised that we will be blessed in that. Again, we go back to what we read in Luke chapter 11. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. We serve a good God that will bless us with the Spirit of God in an incredible way. Now, I want to say this, though, as we finish up here this morning. When the Lord blesses us with revival, that does not mean that everything's going to be smooth sailing. There are going to be those when the Lord revives us. Now, if we're seeking the Lord and He's blessing us, there's going to be challenges. There's going to be opposition. You're going to get opposition from the world. If the Lord blesses us as individuals with revival, we're going to abandon some of the things in our lives that take up our time, take up our resources, take up our energies, and there's going to be challenges from the world. You know, as you go back to the early church, when the Lord, Spirit of God, blessed in those pagan nations, and He blessed in such an incredible degree that there was such a great number of conversions to Jesus Christ, and it affected the economies of those areas. Those folks weren't happy, were they? Those that were in the little God-making businesses weren't happy when the Apostle Paul preached about the one God and preached about Jesus Christ. So there will be opposition. There will be difficulties. And there is opposition from the enemy himself as well. Yeah. Satan is not pleased when God's people seek Him. If you want to know one of the operations of Satan as he tries to divide, another operation of the devil in the lives of God's people is trying to distract them. You know, you do an inventory of your week and see how many times you're distracted. You know, what's a sobering and eye-opening thing on your phones now, most of your phones now, they have a little app for this that you can turn on that app and it'll tell you how many times you pick up your phone, just how many times you pick it up and look at it. How many minutes you spend on this app or that app? How many times hours you spend watching YouTube videos or TikTok? So it's about to say TikTok. I told my kids yesterday, I've got my thumb on the pulse of the youth today. I know what TikToks are. No, TikToks. All of that, you know, can be innocuous when used in the right way. But don't let it become distractions to you. Don't let the media age that we live in distract you from God. But also, don't let the trials and difficulties and challenges and sinful effects in this world distract you as well. Satan wrests those things to his advantage because he doesn't want you to seek after God. When you get distracted, that's Satan. When your attention's turned away, you can blame it on whatever you want to, but at the source of distraction is Satan. He's trying to drown out in the lives of God's children. He can't touch our eternal lives, but while he's here in this world as a wounded animal, he's going to do everything he can to distract. Well, our remedy is to continually, over and over again, seek after the Lord. That model in Luke chapter 11 is not a one-and-done thing. It is an all-day, everyday activity for God's people. My friends, we're not to rest on our laurels till the Lord comes back. We're to be actively engaged in his service and honoring him through prayer, through worship, through reading of Scripture. And he will bless us and revive us. And I believe we'll see wonderful blessings in all of those areas. Cold hearts will be warmed again. Complacency will be replaced with zeal. Obligation will be replaced with love and affection. Our Lord is able to bless us. Lord, help us to seek him. He is where he's always been, on his throne.
Let's turn to hymn number 194. 194. Thank the